Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding by Diane Wiesinger, Diana West, and Teresa Pittman. Narrated by Pam Ward. Welcome. Before there was The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding, there was what I've always thought of as the story of breastfeeding. That story wasn't written down. It was the breastfeeding wisdom passed down from one generation to the next, mother to mother. Unexpectedly, beginning in the first part of the 20th century in the most developed parts of the world, the transfer of the story practically ceased, but not entirely. The remembrance of the story of breastfeeding nourished the writing of the first edition of The Womanly Art, published in 1958, cradling it and sustaining its promise. What never disappeared was the instinctive desire held by many mothers who longed to breastfeed their babies, despite the highly touted advances of bottle feeding, only later correctly labeled artificial infant feeding. For many of these hopeful mothers, the desire to breastfeed was thwarted early on due to misinformation or the plain lack of information. I was one of those mothers with my Elizabeth, my first baby. Advised by the doctor that I didn't have enough milk, I began supplementing with formula. It was the beginning of the end of breastfeeding for us at 3 months, a regret I carry to this day. A move to Franklin Park, Illinois, brought our family in touch with Dr. Gregory White, who was alternately referred to as totally out of step with the times or a prophetic maverick. My husband Chuck and I were delighted to learn he believed in old-fashioned, natural childbirth and breastfeeding. Early in our parenting career, Chuck simply went along with my offbeat ideas, but later he became a strong advocate of them. With the birth of our second child, Timothy, in 1952, and with Dr. White's steady guidance, we were on the right track. A protege of Dr. Herbert Ratner, an early advocate of the wisdom of nature, Dr. White gave me the best mothering advice I ever received. A baby's wants are a baby's needs. Gone were the confusion and worries about spoiling my baby, holding him too much or too little, following the clock, or nursing on demand. It was wonderful, blessed freedom. Around the same time, I discovered other young mothers who were also breastfeeding their babies, an underground of anti-establishment mothering, picking their babies up rather than letting them cry, and taking them with them when going out. One of these mothers lived around the corner from me, Betty Wagner. Her family was somewhat older than mine. As we walked our babies on summer evenings, Betty shared her breastfeeding experience, little tips that made nursing the baby and caring for a growing family less stressful, more enjoyable. Various strands of the story were coming together for me, caring, like-minded women companions, a supportive family, knowledgeable medical professionals. In 1956, the most memorable instance of the revitalization of the story of breastfeeding came about when seven women in the Franklin Park area, all by then experienced breastfeeding mothers, chose the name La Leche League and committed themselves to reaching out to help other mothers who also longed to breastfeed their babies. The core group, hereafter known as the seven founders of La Leche League, consisted of Marianne Cahill, Edwina Frohlich, Marianne Kerwin, Viola Lennon, Marian Thompson, Betty Wagner, and Mary White. Both Dr. White and Dr. Ratner remain lifelong champions of breastfeeding and La Leche League, which spread rapidly, like a smoldering fire newly reignited. And so the final element fell into place for the continuation of the story of breastfeeding. A forum and process were put in place for mothers to come together, observe a loving and natural way of mothering, exchange information, and find support and companionship. This new edition of The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding, the 8th, furthers this effort, opening new worlds of breastfeeding information, from pertinent findings from the scientific literature to the homey and highly prized experiences of ordinary mothers and babies. A totally new rewrite, it is a tribute to its three writers. Yet in the background, arrayed like a Greek chorus, stand the many mothers who have come before us. Dear listener, begin the story and discover the beauty and power of breastfeeding. Step into history. There is a place for you in what will always be your own highly personal experience and enduring memories, but also an act of great consequence to you, your child, and your family, to all of society, to the world. Thank you. Marianne Cahill, La Leche League International co-founder. Introduction. Welcome to the newest edition of The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding. This is a book for you, wherever you are in your mothering journey. It's a book about developing a breastfeeding relationship with your baby, with strategies that help combine breastfeeding with your already busy life, and ideas for meeting any challenges along the way. There's some science, for sure, but we hope to bring to life the art part, the fun part, the way you and your baby figure out your own dance and make this work for you. Does our title sound old-fashioned? That's because it's been around for more than half a century, dating back to 1956, when almost all TV shows were black and white, and many countries' breastfeeding rates were at an all-time low. The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding was the first book about breastfeeding for mothers that was written by mothers, seven of them, in fact. These mothers didn't start out to write a book. They were enjoying breastfeeding their babies. Many of them had bottle-fed earlier children and breastfed later children, and they had all figured out, as mothers always have, that breastfeeding is much easier when we talk about it with friends. So they began holding monthly get-togethers in their homes for other women interested in, breastfeeding. Because the very word was shocking in those days, they chose a code name, La Leche, spelled L-A-L-E-C-H-E, Spanish for the milk, league, after a shrine in St. Augustine, Florida, Nuestra Señora de la Leche y Buen Parto, Our Lady of the Milk and Good Birth. That first La Leche League group quickly became multiple groups. Questions from local mothers became questions from across the country. By 1958, to keep up with the flood, the women had written a simple overview of breastfeeding basics. They made copies, their children helped collate the pages, and the first Womanly Art of Breastfeeding, all 31 pages of it, was mailed from their homes. In 1963, just 5 years later, they wrote a longer version, found a company to print it, and ultimately sold over 1 million copies. And so it grew. Today, from Bolivia to Bulgaria, South Africa to Singapore, breastfeeding mothers get together at La Leche League, LLL, gatherings, to celebrate, laugh, cry, and learn from one another. They may share some technical advice, but mostly they talk about their daily breastfeeding experiences, life with a new baby, how to get a reasonable night's sleep, what solids to offer a breastfeeding toddler, what to say to doubting relatives. It's that sharing of experiences, mother to mother, that has been the heart of every LLL gathering and every edition of The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding, from 1958 through today. We hope this edition will be like a La Leche League meeting, just enough science to light your path and smooth any rough spots in the road, but mostly practical tips and stories from mothers who have been there. As you read it, we hope you'll think of yourself as being surrounded by all the pregnant women and mothers who are reading it at this same moment, as well as the mothers from the generations before you who have contributed to it. By breastfeeding your baby, you're joining a sisterhood of mothers that reaches back to our earliest ancestors and forward to future generations. What makes this book different from other breastfeeding books? What if you had to choose? You can either bottle feed your baby with scheduled feedings and little body contact, but with your milk in the bottle, or you can breastfeed your baby, responding to his cues, but only formula comes out of your breasts. Which would you choose? You'd be choosing between the product of human milk and the process of breastfeeding, and you couldn't have both. Some mothers would choose the milk, for all its protective and health-giving factors. Others would choose breastfeeding because they value the closeness and connection. They just couldn't imagine raising their child any other way. There's no right answer, but in today's world, many women would automatically choose the product over the process because human milk gets all the glory. Studies of human milk are straightforward. Relationships are hard to study. We have tons of research on the importance of a precious fluid that just happens to be delivered from your breast. But this book also celebrates the relationship, the heart of breastfeeding, not just the fluid. Breastfeeding is a connection as well as a food source, a baby's first human relationship, designed to gentle him into the world with far more than just immune factors and good nutrition. It's a way of mothering your baby, a relationship that develops feeding by feeding, building trust, closeness, knowledge of each other, and a deeply connected attachment that lasts long after weaning. Every language has its own word to describe the infant at his mother's breast. North American English has two, breastfeeding and nursing. Nursing in other English-speaking countries tends to mean cuddling or caring for a baby. Maybe nursing began to mean breastfeeding in North America because it allowed the speaker to avoid the word breast. But we like it because it doesn't imply that it's just a feeding method. So in addition to talking about breastfeeding, we'll deliberately be using the word nursing because to us it means a connection that's more than just the milk. What's different in this edition? This edition is for you, the 21st century mother. This new century has new attitudes, new expectations, new trends, and new babies built on a very, very old design. Today's babies have the same reflexes, the same instincts, the same needs that babies had thousands of years ago. We'll offer perspectives on how the age-old behaviors of babies affect breastfeeding today, what our babies need from us, and what we need from motherhood. And we'll help you find ways to adjust when your life and biology don't match. The world you're living in also has more varied family structures. So we use the word partner in this edition to mean the person who shares your home, your life, and the care of your baby, whether that's a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or significant other. Or you may have parents, friends, family members, or roommates whose presence is important to you and your child. You have access to an almost infinite amount of information about breastfeeding online. But there's plenty of misinformation out there as well, and it can be hard to know what to trust. So the concepts in this book are backed by the best practices in modern lactation science and solid research, with websites mentioned throughout the book in case you want to learn more. They're also backed by decades and decades, maybe millennia, of mother wisdom. Breastfeeding has always been something that women learn from one another, not from experts. So you'll read about other mothers' experiences throughout. Because our support networks are so vital to breastfeeding successfully, we've added a whole chapter just on this topic. There's also a lot of information on birth in this edition, because while you can find plenty of books about either birth or breastfeeding, there is a vital connection between the two that isn't usually discussed. This is even more important today when most women have medical interventions, such as induced labor, epidurals, or C-sections, during labor and birth. These interventions can have unexpected effects on both babies and mothers who are trying to get their breastfeeding relationship underway. To help get things back on track, we've added a chapter just about latching to explain approaches that tap into your and your baby's built-in reflexes and instincts. We've added a section of chronological chapters with much more information about the practicalities of living with a breastfed baby at each stage of development, including the joys and journeys of breastfeeding a child beyond the first year. We've delved deeper into ways to get enough sleep, start solids, and wean. If you're going back to work, we've added an expanded chapter to help you continue breastfeeding successfully, minimize your and your baby's stress, and reconnect with each other after your time apart. We've added more information about ongoing challenges like exclusive pumping, preemies, multiples, milk supply issues, breastfeeding with a chronic illness, and babies with special needs. We've added a tech support chapter with to-the-point information on shorter-term problems such as engorgement, jaundice, breast infections, medications, and surgery. We have a chapter all about La Leche League, how we started, and what we're all about. Because sharing our stories is the way we women connect to one another most deeply, you'll find a story at the beginning of each chapter, written by a mother from the past or present, sharing her experience from across time and space. It's remarkable how much wisdom there is in the stories of mothers from many years ago. Although the world has changed, much about breastfeeding is timeless. This edition's authors. We are three La Leche League leaders, accredited LLL counselors. We've breastfed our own babies, 9 of them among the 3 of us, for a combined total of nearly 30 years. Yes, they've all weaned. Experiences that drew us to work with, write for, and speak about breastfeeding mothers and babies. For each of us, breastfeeding was a transformational experience, central to the way we learned to parent our children. It wasn't always perfect or easy. We've struggled through mastitis, plugged ducts, thrush, and sore nipples. We've had babies who came early and babies who came late, babies who wanted to nurse constantly, and babies who refused the breast altogether. We've had too much milk and not enough milk. We've worked in the home and outside. And when breastfeeding didn't work out, there was still a heart full of love and a parenting style that was as close to human biology as we could make it. Diana's interest in helping mothers grew out of low supply with her first baby and her desire to find solutions. Diane wandered into it when she realized she was beginning to give as much help as she got at LLL meetings. Teresa figured from the start that if her horses, cats, and dogs could give birth and feed their babies, she could too, and she became a leader to help others find their own paths. But there also have been hundreds of contributors to this book, new mothers, older mothers, and great-grandmothers, whose experiences have helped countless mothers over time. This is their book, and this is your book. We hope that this edition of The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding will help you settle comfortably into a breastfeeding style that fits you, your baby, and your corner of the world. We think that learning about other mothers and your own and your baby's natural tendencies will make finding your own style easier and more satisfying. As you'll hear at almost any La Leche League meeting anywhere in the world, take a look around, choose only what feels best for you and your family, and leave the rest behind. Whether you get ideas and information from our book, from research, or from talking to other mothers, you know yourself, your baby, and your family better than anyone else, just as mothers always have. We want to hear from you. Please visit the forums at LLLI.org and share your experiences. Tell other mothers how things are going for you, and ask any questions that come up as you read this book. In every era, mothering skills have spread like the ripples of a pond, mother to mother to mother. Someone's ripple touches your life, you learn, and you send out ripples of your own. It's a method of sharing as old as humankind. And as soon as you share that first pregnancy hint with another woman, you've become one of the ripple makers. So keep in touch. Your ideas and experiences might be just what the next mother needs to hear. Part 1. New Beginnings. Chapter 1. Nesting. When I was 2, my mother came home from the hospital cradling 2 mysterious bundles wrapped in soft blue blankets. One was my new baby brother. She handed me the other. Underneath the folds of that soft blanket was a beautiful doll, which my mother explained would be my special baby. My father followed her with a red wooden rocking chair that he placed near my mother's rocking chair. I vividly recall watching my mother breastfeed my brother, and I followed her every move to be sure that I was feeding my own baby properly, even though my breasts looked nothing like hers. My mother and baby brother gazed at each other adoringly during the feeding. I looked down at my own doll, whose eyes closed when she lay on her back. I wanted that lifeless doll to be real. I told myself, I can't wait to grow up so I can feed my own baby. 25 years later, I gave birth to my first child. The day I came home, I sat in our wooden rocking chair, and as I held my son close and nursed him, he opened his eyes to gaze at me. At once, an overpowering recollection of that early childhood memory returned, and tears began to flow as I realized, this is what I've waited my whole life to do. Kathy, remembering 1981. Welcome to our La Leche League meeting in a book. At a real meeting, you'd see a mix of pregnant women, mothers with new babies, and moms with older babies or children. You'd hear questions from women at different stages of motherhood. Some of it would sound right to you. Some of it would answer questions you didn't know you had. And some of it you'd shrug and leave behind. We hope you'll do the same with this book. The cornerstone of La Leche League, LLL, meetings is addressing questions. While a book can never match sitting around with other mothers, we can address some of the typical questions at different stages and tell you what mothers often share from their experience, along with the research behind it all. This first chapter of our meeting in a book begins with the questions pregnant mothers often have about breastfeeding. Even if you've already had your baby, the answers to these questions should make you feel good about what you're doing and tell you more about why breastfeeding is such a great thing to do. The newborn baby has only three demands. They are warmth in the arms of his mother, food from her breasts, and security in the knowledge of her presence. Breastfeeding satisfies all three. Grantley Dick Reed, M.D., from Childbirth Without Fear, 1955. Is breastfeeding right for me? The closer you are to meeting your new baby, the more you're probably thinking about what comes after birth. You're nesting, gathering the things your baby will need, and making a place for him in your home. Those outfits are so cute. That changing table is precious. But while you're out shopping, your body is quietly preparing the real nest your baby will need, your breasts. They'll be all he really needs at first, his go-to place for warmth, security, comfort, love, and, yes, food. As cute as the outfits and decor are, what your baby will care most about is the way you and your body protect and nurture him. Breastfeeding is far more than just a way to feed your baby. It's the way you're naturally designed to begin your mothering experience. So why doesn't it always come naturally? Some of your friends may have told you all about their tough experiences. Maybe your mother couldn't breastfeed, and you wonder if you'll have trouble too. The great news is that we've learned a lot since your mother tried. We've learned more about understanding and respecting the instincts that you and your baby both have. We've learned that the fewer interventions you have during birth, the easier these instincts will be to tap into. And La Leche League is always there to help you work through any issues that come up. Maybe you want to breastfeed because you know it's best. Science keeps finding new ways breastfeeding helps babies reach their potential and protect their mother's health. Maybe you want to because it just feels right. Every mother finds for herself all the little ways that breastfeeding brings her close to her children. Whether the urge comes from your head or your heart, breastfeeding is right for you. And it's definitely right for your baby. How important is breastfeeding, really? Extremely. There's almost nothing you can do for your child in his whole life that will affect him both emotionally and physically as profoundly as breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is also important to our own bodies. We can't think of an aspect of your baby's health that isn't affected by breastfeeding, and it affects a surprising number of your own health issues as well. This would be a much longer book if we described all the ways that breastfeeding is valuable for you, your baby, and your family. But here are a few highlights. Your milk is your baby's normal food. There's no formula that comes even close to the milk your body creates. Your milk has every vitamin, mineral, and other nutritional element that your baby's body needs, including many that haven't been discovered or named yet. And it changes subtly through the meal, day, and year, to match subtle changes in his requirements. Living cells that are unique to your milk inhibit the growth of harmful bacteria and viruses in his still maturing system. And it's more than just living cells. For instance, interferon and interleukins are powerful anti-infectives. If you could buy them, they'd cost the moon. Your milk throws them in free of charge. A squirt of your milk can even treat eye infections and speed the healing of skin problems. Without his normal food, a baby is at higher risk of ear infections, intestinal upsets, and respiratory problems. Allergies and dental problems are more common. Vision, nerves, and intestines don't develop fully. Because of all these differences, and many others not listed here, a formula-fed baby has a different metabolism and a different development, and gains weight differently during his first year. His kidneys and liver work harder to process the waste products from formula. He needs more of any medication to get the same effect. His immune system's response to vaccinations is less effective. The risk of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, or crib death, and infant death from many other causes, is higher if a baby isn't breastfed. As an older child or adult, he is at a greater risk of Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, type 1 diabetes, heart disease, and certain cancers. He responds to stress more negatively and has higher blood pressure, both as an infant and in later life. There's a higher risk of obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and osteoporosis in later years. There are numerous IQ studies showing deficits in children who didn't breastfeed, or who didn't breastfeed for long. Colostrum, the milk you produce in small amounts in the first couple of days after your baby is born, and which you started producing during your pregnancy, has concentrated immunological properties that are your baby's first protection against all the germs he is suddenly exposed to. This first milk contains high concentrations of secretory immunoglobulin A, or SIGA, an anti-infective agent that coats his intestines to protect against the passage of germs and foreign proteins that could create allergic sensitivities. Scientists have also recently discovered a new ingredient in human milk called pancreatic secretory trypsin inhibitor, PSTI, which protects and repairs the infant intestine. It's present in all human milk, but it's 7 times higher in colostrum, providing extra protection to that delicate and vulnerable newborn intestine. Think of colostrum as a complex paint designed to seal those brand new intestinal walls, which were, of course, designed to receive it. Colostrum has an acid level that encourages a baby's intestines to welcome just the right mix of beneficial bacteria. And colostrum is a laxative that gets his intestines up and running and helps clean out all the tar-like stool called meconium that built up in his system before birth. Mature milk, which phases in during the first 2 weeks, has a still unknown number of ingredients that contribute to lifelong health. Along with the interferon, interleukins, white blood cells, and SIGA, the breastfed baby gains an immune system nearly as sturdy as his mother's. Human growth factor continues to develop those intestines, bones, and other organs. Insulin for digestion, long-chain fatty acids for a healthy heart, lactose for brain development. It's all there. And just as important, it's there in forms that are available to a baby. Iron is added to formulas in forms that the baby can't readily use, and which can actually be harmful, since it increases the risk of intestinal infection, intestinal bleeding, and anemia. The mechanics of breastfeeding are important, too. When your baby breastfeeds, the muscles in his jaws are exercised and massaged in a way that causes the bones in his face and jaw to develop more fully. The jaw that results from bottle feeding and pacifiers is narrower, with a higher palate that's more likely to restrict nose breathing. Babies who use pacifiers instead of soothing themselves at the breast are more likely to need speech therapy later. The child who breastfeeds for less than a year is much more likely to need orthodontia later on. Snoring and related breathing problems are more common as well. Your baby can design his own meal to suit his needs. If he's thirsty, he nurses for a shorter amount of time and gets a lower-fat milk. Still thirsty? He asks to switch sides sooner, and gets another thirst quencher from the other side. Extra hungry? He stays long.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?